Welcome to the Gamers Inn. Come on in and pull up a chair next to the fire. It looks like you've had a long journey. I'm your host, Jocelyn, and joining me, as always, is my co-host, Ryan. Hi, Ryan.
Hello. Happy February 15th.
Which was supposed to be Half Price Chocolate Day, and Joel and I went to like three different stores today. No Half Price Chocolate.
That's such a rip.
So disappointing.
You'd think it's like November 1st or something.
I know.
Half Price Chocolate Day. It's also Half Price Day Old Flower Day, I suppose.
That's true. Oh my god, the lines that I saw when I went to go get groceries yesterday for like, it's all like dudes. This big, huge, long line at the superstore with like standing in front of the flowers, and they were all like had bouquets in their hand, and I was just like, oh dude.
See, I didn't have much of an issue Thursday because, I mean, Ashley worked late, so I bought all my stuff Thursday as well. I went to Walmart, picked out a nice little vase with the, it had like, it was a guy's best dream in terms of buying like flowers. It comes with flowers, vase, water, and a little freaking teddy bear.
Buy your own water?
Yeah, I just gave it to her, ripped the tag off, we're good to go. I actually surprised her at work, and unfortunately it was like dead. So I walk in with this flower and cookies for the rest of the staff, and just like everybody's staring at me. And I'm like, I'm going to get in trouble for this. But yeah, Valentine's Day.
Yeah, fun times. Yeah. I played Mass Effect.
Right. Did you get any Paramore scenes?
I did not, actually. I played one mission. I went and got the, Prothean.
Right, yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I went and got him, and that was awesome. And then I was like, I sent Val a message, because I'm like, you know, it's still early Eastern time, but, like, I know Val's not working today, so I'm just going to text her and be like, dude, do you want to come play some Mass Effect to blow up some stuff? Like, screw this whole Valentine's Day thing. And she's just like, oh, actually, I'm on my way out for dinner, so... And I was like, oh no! So I had to play Mass Effect multiplayer with randoms. But dude, they have so nerfed it. Like, since we last played in October, like, I did go in and I did play that one mission to go to pick up the Javik guy, the Prothean. So, I mean, I played a little bit right before, but not a whole lot. So it was like, I don't know. My first round, I didn't even die until wave 8. And I was just like, okay, seriously? Like, anyone who watched our Extra Life footage knows that I die in wave 4. Tops.
Yeah.
Yeah.
GIS Gamer is down.
GIS Gamer is down. And yet, in this one, I died in wave 8, then wave 9, and then I did die in the third time, like, in the third time that I played. Like, first time I played was wave 8. Second time was wave 9. Third time I died in like wave 3, but I was just getting cocky. I was like running down to where I knew the bad guys were going to spawn, and then I was just like, oh god, and now I'm surrounded and I'm dead. Oh. I was just like, oh, sorry guys. But, you know, no one was on mics. Although, like, the thing that I like playing with you guys is like, if one of us goes down, then it's just like, okay, I've got you. I'm going to go come revive you or whatever. There's, like, no reviving otherwise. Mm. You know, like, when you just play with randoms, they're just like, ah, well, that was stupid. I'm just going to let her bleed out because who cares? So that is the biggest thing I noticed. But, like, man, is bronze easy now. Like, so, so easy. And there was an update that I had to download before it would let me play Mass Effect. So
yeah,
I feel like...
Yeah, it was a title update, I think.
Yeah, so... I don't know. I think they probably slipped in some stuff.
Well, I mean, I remember playing without you guys, like just playing randoms, and I never had an issue on silver, you know? And I'm like, I just think that when you play random, it's giving you a handicap because you don't know the people. But when you're in a party with friends, like you know the people and you're on chat, so they like make it a little more difficult. I haven't been able to prove that, but it always felt like that was the case.
Mm. Or maybe we just bring you down.
No, I don't think that's the case. Cause I'm not good at that game. I don't think I was ever any, like, I was like the guy who killed guys all the time, you know?
That was the other thing, is that I was either second or first in the score. And I was just like, no, this is not my experience with Mass Effect at all. I am like third or fourth usually out of four.
Well, I'm looking forward to, they're supposed to be coming out with a new like multiplayer pack for it, so very soon, hopefully. I want to get back into it.
It was a lot of fun. I hadn't played my Renegade playthrough since October, and I don't think I'd played multiplayer either since October. So I've hardly been on my Xbox at all since Christmas, man. Like,
I wonder why.
Yeah, PC games have been owning my life. So what were you playing yesterday?
I didn't play anything yesterday. But I have been slipping in a little bit of Fire Emblem on the 3DS. I've finally gotten a little bit. Yeah, a little bit. I haven't gotten very far because the thing about this game is that I've replayed a bunch of missions because my guys keep dying. So the whole point of this game is that when people die, they're done forever, right? And I don't want that to happen.
Right.
So the way I play Fire Emblem is like when you try to be as strategic as possible. And sometimes, you know, you get a little, overzealous, I suppose. And you send a guy out and then you realize, oh, no, he can be flanked and killed. And then it's like close, reset. And you end up playing a mission like 6 times. No. But the biggest issue I have with Fire Emblem by far is that the characters don't have any feet. They don't have feet. They're like, there's specific cutscenes where the guys are animated and it looks like 3D polygonal avatars, and they have like pointy things as legs and they just kind of walk out.
I know you can't see me, but I'm making a really confused frowny face right now.
Well, they just don't have any feet. It's like, I'm trying to think of the best way to explain it. Well, this is the best way to explain it. This is what their feet, this is what their legs look like, and they have no feet. See that?
That's really weird.
Yeah.
Like, I saw that in the notes, and I was like, I thought maybe you meant, like, feet, like, F-E-A-T, like, feats of strength or, like, achievements or something. And, like, I didn't realize you meant actual feet are missing.
Yeah, yeah, that wasn't a typo. They don't have feet. I'm pretty sure they have feet when you're looking at them on the grid and it's 2D. They have feet. You can tell because, you know, they're animated. But in these, like, cutscenes, they just don't have feet. And it's
That's
distracting because the game is just so heavily story-based that there's just, it's very rich in story. And one thing I got to hand it to Nintendo is that their translation team is phenomenal. Usually when a game comes over from Japan, like Ni no Kuni, people say, it's a great game, but keep in mind, it's a JRPG. If you can get past that, you can probably enjoy it. The reason they say that is because the translation is awful.
No.
With Fire Emblem, like, and a lot of the Nintendo titles, like, the translation is one of the best things about it, and it's the same way in this one as well, because you're not, you know, thinking, oh, this is a Japanese game. It reads as if it's an American game, and I'm really enjoying the story. It's interesting, and a typical Japanese story, though, mind you, your character wakes up with amnesia. It's really weird, and it's like a trope of some kind for Japanese RPGs. Ugh, I just don't know why, but
it's like J.J. Yeah. Abrams and time travel.
Yeah, he's a big fan. You know what? If he does an amnesiac, is that a word? Amnesia suffering person who time travels.
Amnesiac?
Maybe. Someone look that up. But yeah, amnesia. So you start with amnesia and you get like picked up by these shepherds who turn out to be like a group of, they're basically like royalty. And the reason they're called shepherds is because it's a clever play on words, you see. They're royalty, so they're shepherds over all their sheep. The sheep are the population of the kind of, oh, this is so good. But one of the best additions they've made to this is in the older Fire Emblem games, you could have relationship conversations, like support conversations with characters, and the way you earn those, they were just like little exchanges between characters on the battlefield, and the way you earn them was by having your characters sort of battle alongside each other. And it really wasn't, there was no meters, there was no like notification as to when you would get them, but they were always handy because they would increase the stats of your characters. So you always were trying to get them. It usually required a guide to sort of figure it out. But in this game, when you battle beside somebody, whenever your relationship status goes up, there'll be a little heart pop out every time you've successfully achieved. And I know you laugh, but I was really happy they put this in here because now I can directly tell when I'm earning like support between characters. And the crappy part about it in the older games is that sometimes you would leave your characters in awkward positions to get that conversation. Yeah, I did that on purpose. To get that support conversation.
I'm too easy. I know.
You know, you'd leave them in awkward positions on the battlefield to get these support conversations. And yeah, you'd get the cool exchange between the characters, but then some archer comes by and totally fucks your mage up, you know? So it sucked. And in this one, the way they've solved that is they basically reduced it to a menu. And I know some of the hardcores will probably be like, ugh, you know, they're making it too easy. Because literally what you do is in between battles, you go to a menu, literally says support, and it shows all your characters and all the new conversations you have. And the conversations are like nothing incredible, nothing worthy to the story. It's like, oh, I've been thinking of getting a gift for so-and-so. It's like, oh, I've been thinking about getting a gift too. How do you buy a gift for royalty? I don't know. Let's make them something. Dirt. And I'm pretty sure, like, that's just the intro conversation, and it's just going to increase from there. Like, I'm sure by the second one, they'll have, like, found the first ingredient they need for whatever they're... I can't remember what they wanted to make them. A potion, I think.
Is it a cake?
No, that would be funny. I think they want to make a potion, and then the second one's like, well, I found these berries, and like, ah, that's funny. I found the berries as well, and I'm not really making a strong case for them. That's just one example, but there are some cool support conversations, but I haven't got very far because I keep having to replay missions because I suck, evidently. But yeah, Fire Emblem is so much fun. I love it, even though I suck.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Well, I have a very short... I'm not going to talk about Blizzard titles a lot this week. I promise I, on purpose, played other things this week. But I did do my first raid.
Whoa. 25-man?
Well, yeah, in a
should
way...
Should have been 25-man.
Yeah, should have been. We tweeted out to everybody saying that everybody in AIE, we said that we wanted to run the Illidan Black Temple raid, right?
Mm-hmm.
So in the end, it ended up being, I think, 6 of us. And so it was Joel and I who were at level, and then we had a level 85 healer and an 85 something else.
Yeah.
Something, Warlock, I think, and then like a 90 mage or something. I can't, maybe, yeah, can't remember. Anyways, there were 6 of us, and everybody was like high level end game type people, except for Joel and I who were lower level. And like, this is my big problem with like, LFR or LFG, you know, any of that stuff where mm-hmm. you're playing with people who this is not their first time through, right? I feel like they need some kind of way to add into LFG or the looking for raid, converting to raid, whatever the thing is they should have a setting where you can say, like, I want to run this and do the quests and kind of like do a relaxed, slow playthrough, because I feel like the whole entire time, like, Joel and I, it took a long time to kill things, and we died really, really easily, right? So, mm-hmm. we were kind of, like, always trying to keep up, and most of the time, we would, like, run into the room, and everything was already dead. So, we didn't even get to see cool models or anything else, and then, like, we're in the big fight against Illidan at the end, and I'm just like, I don't even know what's going on right now. And then it was just like, you know, people saying, like, okay, go, stand in the circle. Okay, get out of the circle now. Go stand over here. And I was just like, okay.
So at that point, you're not experiencing what you want to experience, which is the story.
No.
You're experiencing the dance that is killing a raid boss.
Yeah.
So, I mean, at that point, you have two choices. One of which, actually, both you probably won't like, because, you know, you could go to Wowpedia or whatever and read, like, the lore and story behind, you know, Illidan and Black Temple. I don't even understand it. It requires... I've learned this the hard way with WoW, is that if you're not there playing within the year that raid comes out, they, like, nerf it and it becomes impossible to experience it the way it was supposed to be experienced when it came out, right? Your other option is you go to YouTube and find someone who's capped the whole dungeon or made some sort of video detailing the original, like, yeah. run through, right? Because it's not, you know, this was around.
I find that, like, I wish that there was, because it applies to regular dungeons too, like, not just raids, is I find that unless we find a group of people who are willing to run it with us slowly and who we say, okay, this is our first time through, like, no spoilers, just, you know, let's just play the dungeon, which, you know, we have been very lucky and we've been able to find people who are willing to play with us and kind of run at our speed, but for the most part, it's just like everybody just wants to go through as fast as possible, just like pound through, get the loot, you know, and I'm just like, I don't really understand where the fun is in that. And it's probably because everything we're playing is years and years and years old. Like, I mean, we only just finished Burning Crusade content, like now we're moving into Northrend. So we're kind of, I know we're really far, like, we're far behind. Everybody's already done it over and over and over a billion times, so they don't really want to run it slow. But I feel like we're always just that little bit behind everybody else.
Right.
And we haven't had a chance to experience WoW yet, which is kind of ridiculous considering my character's 75 now.
Playing for a year. I'm pretty sure you've experienced WoW at this point. If you haven't, you're doing it wrong.
Well, but that's what I'm saying. It's like, I feel like we're not doing it wrong. Like, right. The experience in WoW from, like, 1 to 80 or 85 is wrong now. You know, like, it's been changed too much to make it easier for people to get to end level. And I feel like it's unbalanced somehow, you know? Like, right. I know I wouldn't necessarily want it to be slower, but I'd want it to be maybe harder or more explanation. Because I found, I also went back to my panda.
Right.
And played, because my panda was level 16, and I've played her through now to 23. So I did the War Chief command thing mm-hmm. and went to, where the, like, Forsaken Front. I can't remember what area that's in. But basically, there was this, like, confrontation between Sylvanas, who I didn't even know, it was a chick, even.
Really?
So she's, like, the leader of the undead. And the big orc guy. And they had this whole conversation, and they were like, this is what you're doing, and this is what you're doing, and blah, 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 blah. And it was this whole voiced-over explanation of, like, the relationship between, like, the orcs and the horde and the undead. And I was just like, this is awesome! And that is the first, like, story experience I've had mm-hmm. outside of, like, when you very first start a character, and then you get, like, the really quick kind of fly-through and voiceover when you start a level one character.
So, what you're saying in terms of, like, them nerfing sort of the 1 to 85 content to get people to panda, it's like saying Nintendo re-releases Ocarina of Time on the 3DS and makes all the kid dungeons super easy, just yes. so you can get to the adult content faster, because that's the most fun part of Ocarina of Time.
Yeah.
When you're old enough to go idea. Drink and ride a horse after 5 p.m., you know. But yeah, no, okay, yeah, that makes sense. I agree with you. Like, most people would say, like, well, I mean, most people would think Blizzard's catering to the guys who have been around for 8 years and are just trying to, you know, oh, I want to reroll my panda and get them up to whatever,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they want people to experience that new content most of all. But mm-hmm. I think with Cataclysm, it's almost like they shot themselves in the foot by making, you know, 1 to 60 so easy, and then they release Cataclysm, and it's all that new content. It's almost like you need them to buff that zone again, so it's harder, and it takes more experience, so you can experience all that new stuff. I mean, they didn't put a lot of new stuff in Cataclysm, but they did put enough that would make maybe, like, people consider not power leveling a new character through.
Yeah. So I don't know. I think I'm really going to love WoW when I get to the level 85 to 90 content from Pandaria. And I am enjoying it. And there's parts of the game that I really, really like. I like the exploration. I like the world. Mm-hmm. I like the lore, except I feel like it's just not being explained well enough. And I'm not getting full quest lines. Because, I mean, like, I went through Ashenvale with my panda. I went through 4 levels of content with only exploring, like, a quarter of the zone. I think I did 10 quests, and I leveled up because I had an enlightenment buff because I was a panda, so I went and did a daily in the summit in Pandaria. I did a daily with my monk trainer, and mm-hmm. so I get a buff that, like, gives me 50% more XP from quests, not just from, like, mobs like your normal rested XP does. Plus, I was rested, and I just blew through the zone in a quarter of the, like, space. I only discovered, like, two places and then went back to Orgrimmar, got Warchief's Command, and went to Stone Talon Mountains. And I was just like, this is insane. Like, I'm not getting any kind of story. Like, I'm just, like, powering through. I think I played for 3 hours and went from 16 to 24 in 3 hours. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Anyways, I said I was only going to talk a little bit about WoW, and then
sorry.
I went, phew, tangent.
That's my fault.
So, yeah, it's all your fault, Ryan. Mm. So, what else did you play this week? Because I have one more thing that is not a Blizzard title.
It's funny, I haven't played anything else this week, but I did want to mention that I picked up Dead Space 3. It's...
I can't see it, it's all shiny.
How do... There we go. That better?
Yeah,
there
that's better.
It's still in the packaging. Ooh, look at that. Microsoft security label thing. I haven't played it yet. Bob sent me an email and I was like, I hadn't planned on picking it up. I've always rented this series because it's mainly single player. I beat it as fast as possible and take it back. But Bob said, Bob Fournier, I'm trying to remember his last name. And by doing that, I'm just repeating his first name over and over again. So Bob Fournier of FXL says to me, it's like, I want to play Dead Space 3. We should co-op it. So I picked it up on Xbox for the Kinect stuff and to co-op it with Bob. And I'm probably going to stream some stuff, but I haven't opened it yet. I haven't had a chance to actually tear into it and play it. But I'm a huge fan of the Dead Space series. And it's unfortunate Dead Space 3 got a bit of a, you know, not quite as good as Dead Space 2. And it, I don't know. From what I've seen, it looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. But I know a lot of people are kind of poo-pooing it. Not as bad as Assassin's Creed 3 or... some of the story bits in Mass Effect 3, but I don't know. What's with threes? I don't know. It's just, why can't they just stick the landing, guys? And I haven't played it at all yet, so I shouldn't say that, but it's just weird to me.
I feel like with threes, if it's the end of a trilogy, the games are good, like Mass Effect 3, good. If it's like three in an unspecified number and they could just keep going and going and going, not so much. Like Halo 3 was probably my favorite out of all of the Halos that we played, and that was at the time kind of the end of a storyline, like it wrapped up stuff. So I feel in those cases 3 is good, but in just the, you know, we're Assassin's Creed 3 of 10 or yeah. You know, Dead Space 3 of 7, you know, the three titles just aren't as good. They suffer from the same sort of thing as usually the second movie in a trilogy suffers from, or the second game in a trilogy, where they're kind of in the middle of the story arc, you know, like nothing too big usually happens, or, you know, like it's just, it's all the in between. It's like you're not meeting new characters, but you're not tying up a final big storyline. You're not finishing off the universe. So,
yeah.
That's how I feel about threes.
I mean, Assassin's Creed 3, like, I was playing a bit of it today. Not enough to talk about it, anything new, but I'm getting near the end there, and I'm starting to understand as to why people didn't enjoy it as much as the Ezio games, but I feel as though they started from scratch, they did a new engine, and that may sort of contribute to the fact that it wasn't as good as the other ones, because they're so refined, whereas this one's like, let's do everything new. And it'll be interesting to see what they do with the new Assassin's Creed coming out in the fall, and hopefully it, you know, it has that same shine that Brotherhood had, you know, it's like same great awesomeness. Or in this case, a little bit better awesomeness. But I'm probably going to beat Assassin's Creed 3 this weekend. I think I've set that goal for myself. So I'll get the praise out of the way now. And then next weekend, I can start swearing about how the ending's bullshit. Because that seems to be...
We need a patch.
Actually, that's the other thing. Is that's the main thing with 3s this past year. Is that the endings are kind of... You know? And I haven't heard anything about Dead Space 3 yet. I hear that... It sort of wraps it up. So, unlike Mass Effect 3 when they announced a sequel like 6 months later, I haven't heard anything about a Dead Space 4. So,
just because you haven't heard it doesn't mean it's not coming.
Oh, it's from EA. So, you know, I imagine
they're going to milk it.
Yeah. Oh, there'll be more.
Because they're EA.
Yeah, EA.
I just shook my fist. I know you can't see.
Everything, all the time. That's what EA stands for.
The final thing that I played this week was actually a title that I was super psyched about for a long, long time and then picked it up and never actually played it until today.
Whoa.
I know, right? Lego Lord of the Rings, which was actually really, really good. Like I say, I just started playing it today. Mm-hmm. So I'm not really far at all. I got through the prologue and then I got into Hobbiton. So I'm just kind of being Frodo and running around. And it's one really, really weird thing that I just want to mention right off the top. And SWTOR did the same thing to me. It's so weird. Everybody knows I just bought a new doghouse in December. So my system is like awesome. It doesn't even blink at most things that I try to do. So SWTOR and now LEGO Lord of the Rings start with all the settings all the way down. So, like, my resolution was, like, 800 by 600, and VSync was off. And, you know, like, it's all these crazy settings. Like, I'm watching SWTOR was actually, I could not watch the opening, the opening movie, because it was tearing so badly that anytime someone swung a lightsaber, it was like it was chopping like lines through the screen. It was like insane, the tearing that was happening when I was trying to play SWTOR. And then so I went into the settings and then did the VSync thing, and I was just like, how is that not default on? I don't understand.
Well, I've had this issue too with certain games where they ignore your hardware, but I have to say that we have yet to see specs on this system. I want to see the specs.
I know. I keep forgetting
some sort of birth certificate to prove that it is. I'm just kidding.
I know. I need to start taking a whole bunch of pictures, and I do need to go and post my system specs on the Facebook page, because there's quite a few fans now that have posted what their PC setup looks like. So I do need to do that. But
I believe you that it's awesome, but I've had problems with games doing that as well. And I do remember LEGO Lord of the Rings being one of them, where I had to go in and just jack everything up, because it's a LEGO game, right?
I was like, because I was watching I played through the prologue, and it wasn't too noticeable because everything in the prologue is really far away, because the prologue is the battle, like from 3,000 years ago with the elves against Sauron the first time, right? So everything's really far away. There's lots and lots of little Lego dudes, so it's not really that noticeable. But as soon as you get into the cutscene with Frodo and Gandalf in Bag End, then it's like, you're close on everything. It looks like there's no anti-aliasing whatsoever. So all the edges are like this. And I'm just like, what is going on? Like, this is a brand new game on a really good system. Like, I shouldn't be having, like, this shouldn't look like Nintendo did it.
Is this the 3DS version? What's going on?
Right? So I had to go in and change all my graphics. And I was just like, this is so weird and backwards and wrong. So anyways... Mm-hmm. But that really is my only problem.
They didn't set the settings to high. I had to spend 2 minutes. Wait, 2 minutes.
Changing my settings. Right?
If it took you 2 minutes, we have another problem. It took 30 seconds to go in there and change the settings.
Yeah. So the voiceover stuff I really like, because that is probably my most hated part of LEGO games, is the like all the grunting to say, like, let's go over here, I have a question, you know, like, it's ridiculous. So having the voices in LEGO Lord of the Rings make the LEGO game so much more playable. The controls are kind of funky, because all the LEGO games, they have that weird kind of perspective where you're not looking at it like flush like a platformer, you're kind of just skewed a little bit,
three-quarter kind of,
yeah, that weird three-quarter thing. Yeah. And then, so, it's hard to judge the depth, and I died a lot in the Mount Doom part of the prologue, because you have to, like, run and then jump onto floating platforms in lava, and so I was hitting the lava a lot, and I was just like, this is really frustrating, because it's, like, the WASD keys, and you don't really know how far back you have to be, and then you jump and you move in the air, but there's no depth perception. Like, it's so weird and janky, but maybe I just need to try it with the controller, and that might make a difference. But
you're playing on your keyboard and mouse?
Yeah.
Oh, that's probably it.
That could be it. Yeah.
I didn't even try it with the keyboard and mouse. I was on the Xbox controller. I found it much superior.
I thought I would try it with the keyboard and mouse, because I find, like, everybody always says, like, as soon as I say, oh, I'm playing blank game with the controller, they're like, oh, why are you doing that? Keyboard, mouse.
What? No. Oh, okay. Here is a general rule when it comes that I've learned when it comes to PC gaming, it's like, if it's not an RTS or an FPS, you have a pretty good reason to use a controller. And an MMO, rather, I suppose. Three genres, go-to keyboard mouse.
Mostly what I've been playing between Black Ops 2 and StarCraft and WoW. Like, I've been playing RTS, first-person shooter, and MMO, so... You know,
you just want to sit back and fiddle with a controller.
Yeah, I think I need to fiddle a little with my controller. So, anyways, the controls are all right. And I think, yeah, when I play with the controller, it'll be better. Oh my god, we're literally 12. So...
Sorry.
Let's just take a minute. Deep breath, okay. So, but yeah, like I say, I really like the voiceover stuff. Not so much out of Elrond and Frodo. It was kind of weird. But Gandalf and Bilbo were really, really good. So I think it's just the Lego face in general doesn't fit Elrond because he's so severe and serious, right? So having him in a little Lego character really looks funny. But I really like it. I'm having a lot of fun. And the whole open world idea, like as soon as you get into Hobbiton, you find this little statue thing and it's like the map dude. And you're like, you can walk up to him and he gives you a map of the area. And I'm just flicking my wires all over the place here. Sorry. map dude.
Map
dude. And so he gives you a map and you can like set your destination to different stuff. Like he tells you like points of interest and like where you could find secret things. And, you know, there's like a little ghost trail of those little Lego bits that you collect. And that helps tell you what's the best path to your next objective. So it's very open worldy and explorey and stuff, which is what they were saying, is that this was going to be the first open world Lego game. And it really is. And I'm so enjoying it. And especially, like, I mean, Steam has it regular price for, what, $30? Mm-hmm. Something like that? And, I mean, I got it on sale for $8. Like, I mean, I should have paid full price for this game. Like, it is definitely worth full price. It's really, really good. And, I've played some Lego games and not like them. I've played other Lego games and really like them. Like, Harry Potter for the Wii is great with the whole wand pointing. It's the only thing I've ever done in motion control that I've enjoyed. So... You know, but I've played some Lego games and liked them, played other Lego games and haven't liked them, but this one is really definitely worth picking up, and I'm only an hour into the content. Like, it's so good.
Yeah, that's what I was saying when I played it, is I kind of got lost. The open worldness wasn't a huge fan of it, but then again, I only played a couple hours. Does this game have, like, online co-op? It's only local, right?
I think it's only local, and I was trying to figure out like how that would work, because it's the same as any other Lego game, and then it has the kind of grayed out character up in the right hand corner,
right?
And then somebody, it says like press blank to jump in, and I'm just like, I would not want to play on, like, I mean, my monitor's pretty big. My monitor's a 22-inch monitor, so I mean, not tiny. But I wouldn't want to share that, like, split that in any way, you know? So,
I was playing co-op, mind you, it was on the TV, but it keeps the same area. It only splits when you get far away enough, but
yeah.
Usually you kind of keep together, like,
which Joel and I played, Lego Harry Potter 5-7 on the Xbox on the TV and found the, like, what do they call it, dynamic split screen or something, really hard to kind of wrap your head around, because like if I go one way and he goes the other, like all of a sudden my character's over on the far side of the screen, and like it makes sense, but it's really jarring. So yeah, I don't know, I wasn't a huge fan of the whole split screen thing, and I know like Lego kind of did the best that you possibly could, keeping it together as much as you could and only splitting it when you have to. Great idea. Just, I'm not a huge fan of the split screening anyway, so.
If you're enjoying it by yourself, who needs other people?
Well, yeah, I don't like playing with other people anyway. It's not a Lego MMO, so.
Exactly. Oh, no, they did that. It failed. It didn't work.
So, I think that's pretty much it for what we're playing, so I'm going to just take a second here to thank our sponsors, Doghouse Systems. We are still in the middle of the Kerrigan rifle giveaway, so if you use the code Kerrigan in conjunction with the code The Gamer's In, you will double your RAM as usual, but you also have a chance to win a super sweet Kerrigan rifle replica. That's really hard to say.
Kerrigan rifle replica. Kerrigan rifle replica.
It's the rifle replica part that trips me up. From Bill of Punished Props, who is actually going to be coming on the show March 1st, which I'm super psyched about. He's also been posting a whole bunch of videos on YouTube detailing the build and showing his progress and giving tips and tricks on how he's actually making this rifle come to life. So go check that out when you can. The only way to be entered to win the rifle, which has a $1,200 value, is to use that Kerrigan code at checkout when you purchase a Doghouse system. The purchase of the system has to happen by March 12th, which is the launch of the Heart of the Swarm, to be considered a valid entry. So head on over to doghousesystems.com and get your order on. Big thanks to Doghouse for their continued support of our show. And it's time for quick news.
All right. Yes. Latest Nintendo Direct focuses on 3DS. On February 14th, Nintendo gave a big fat Valentine's to all the 3DS owners in the world with promises of a new Mario & Luigi, a new Mario Tennis, and a remake of Donkey Kong Country Returns, which came out on the Wii in 2010. All of these due in this summer, which, like, crazy secrets, Batman. Also announced was that Animal Crossing New Leaf will be out June 9th, also summer. Finally, Iwata confirmed that 2013 would be the year of the Luigi. Wow, they should really try and find someone better. With Luigi's Mansion Dark Moon.
I like Luigi.
He's alright.
I'm thinking on him.
He's alright. Mario! Luigi's Mansion Dark Moon, New Super Luigi U, which is the stupidest name ever, which is a DLC add-on. This is the coolest part, is it's a DLC add-on for New Super Mario Bros. U that turns the whole game into a Luigi-focused title. Really interested for that. And this year will also feature tall Italians in green with badass mustaches. What up?
The Impossible devs just can't catch a break. Last summer, when 38 Studios went under, Epic Games hired a lot of devs from Big Huge Games and created Impossible Games. Now, Epic posted on their community site that the team isn't working out, so they're all out of jobs again. But wait, there's more! Ken Levine, read that too fast, from Irrational Games, who are the makers of Bioshock, posted links to their hiring page on Facebook, and he said he's a huge fan of everything Big Huge ever did. Looks like Irrational will be recruiting these guys, and hopefully their jobs last a little longer this time.
Everyone go buy Bioshock Infinite. New Arkham game this year. During an investor's call for Time Warner, the company's chief financial officer mentioned that the next title in the Arkham series would release in 2013. Keep in mind that this comes a month after Warner Brothers acquired a slew of Arkham-related domains. Rumor is the game is not being developed by Rocksteady, but instead by Warner Brothers Montreal. We should expect to see a reveal close to E3, which is literally just 4 months away. Crazy.
Holy crap. Origin has 440 million users. EA is reporting that they have 40 million Origin users, which is over half the total sales of the Xbox 360, which Microsoft just announced had sold 74 million units. So it's not an insignificant number. It does count all accounts across all platforms, which includes mobile. EA noted that Origin supports over 500 game titles, which I find is an interesting word choice. I think saying over 500 games require Origin would be more accurate. The announcement came as part of the Origin for Mac launch, meaning all you Mac users can now play lots and lots of Sims.
Woo! Gas-powered games cancels Wildman Kickstarter and more crazy. With just 4 days left in the campaign and still 590,000 short of their goal, head honcho Chris Taylor said, "At this point, it makes sense for us to focus our attention on other ways to keep gas-powered games running." Chris didn't give any more details on how he would save the company, but a few days later, we got our answer. Wargaming, the developer and publisher of free-to-play game World of Tanks, has acquired gas-powered games. Hopefully, this spells good times ahead for Wildman. But Wargaming gave no further information on how gas-powered games will move forward, besides the usual, "we're excited to have them on board" blargan.
No backwards compatibility for you. EA CFO Blake Jorgensen gave some next-gen console hints. What are you laughing at?
It's just,
Jorgensen?
This
Jorgensen.
Is going to sound bad, but that just sounds like a fake Swedish name.
Stop it.
I blame Swedish Chef. It's not my
fault.
It's
all Swedish Chef's fault. Now, where was I? Gave out some next-gen console hints during a Q&A at the Goldman Sachs Technology and Internet Conference in San Francisco. He says that he thinks people will be excited about the next-gen and the capabilities of different platforms, but the backwards compatibility and used games are a thing of the past. In related news, GameStop is closing 250 stores, and their shares took a hit last week when a leak disclosed the next-gen Xbox would block used games. GameStop just published the results of a survey stating that 60% of gamers would not buy a console that blocked used games. The numbers seem accurate, as a survey on Kotaku's site has the number at 67%, with almost 18,000 people responding. I think blocking used games is the wrong way to go, but we'll see what happens at Sony's announcement February 20th.
When was the last time you bought a used game?
Like, a week ago.
I can't remember the last time I bought a used game.
I'm a huge used game person.
Steam.
I will not buy a console if they block used games.
Well, you may be sitting... It's confirmed. Jocelyn's buying a Wii U.
Not a rumor. It is confirmed. Oh, God. No, wait. Not the Wii U.
It's the only one that's not going to play used games. Or will play used games, rather. Not that there will be any used games to buy.
There are people to buy them in the first place in order for there to be used copies.
Yeah. That's a good point.
Oh! What up?
All to be revealed on Bungie's Destiny. Sunday. Be sure to tune in at 10 a.m. PST, 1 p.m. EST to IGN or other fancy game journalist outlets for your first look at Destiny. Late this week, many journalists were at Bungie Studios getting a peek behind the curtains to share information on the project this Sunday, as I mentioned. Word on the street is that Destiny is very Halo-like, probably in that it's a shooter, not the fact that it will feature a giant cybernetic human soldier and a purple naked lady. But we'll know for sure in just a few days.
More layoffs, this time at Valve. I found this story extremely humorous. Not because people lost their jobs, because that always sucks. What is funny is that this is even news at all. Valve conducts their performance reviews, fires people that the team agrees are not the greatest fit for whatever reason, and the gaming press cries, "Scandal! Layoffs! Valve is no longer the best place to work!" It's insane! The number of confirmed layoffs? 2. The reason the press thinks there's more? Website update. Come on, people. These are regular hiring and firing practices, which is exactly what Gabe Newell said in a statement he was forced to make when these stories got blown way out of proportion. No games are canceled, no studios are closing, and there is no change in priorities for Valve. Can we get back to business now? Like, maybe the business of delayed games. Ryan, why don't you give us a rundown of our topic this week? Don't shake your head at me. That was a great segue.
No, I'm sad. This is a great segue. This topic is depressing. It has to deal with Rayman Legends, once a Wii U exclusive. That's not what bothers me. They have delayed it to September. It was supposed to come out on the Wii U in 2 weeks, at the end of February.
Really last minute. Like, really last minute.
Yeah. So last minute, mind you, that the developers making the game were busting their ass to get it out the door for the end of February. And 2 weeks before that, Ubisoft brass is just like, yeah, you know what? We'll probably make more money if we release this on other consoles. And we'll have to do it simultaneously because we're just nice guys like that. I understand them, Ubisoft, wanting to release it on all the consoles. I never have a problem. I actually hate third-party exclusive games. I think they're weird and... not a big fan, right? I don't care if, oh, I have a Wii U, so I get to play this first and only me, right? I would have loved to see it on Xbox and PS3, but I'm not a huge fan of it being delayed on the Wii U, even though it's close to being finished. Because, Jocelyn, I don't know if you've noticed by the last, couple months, what we're playing segments, but the Wii U doesn't have a lot of games coming out. Like, none.
Did you not hear me? Sorry. I said yes, I did notice that. Sorry.
Oh, okay. I must have cut it. Yeah, so there's not a lot of games coming out. So this is what is really bothering me and a lot of Wii U owners, is that we would have really liked this to pad our catalog. It's just really weird and unfortunate that this had to happen.
I do not like this in any sense. Like, whether it's games, whether it's DLC, like, I hate that they're ever different. You know, like, just the whole, Skyrim DLC for PC comes out months later, and, there's Xbox exclusivity for 30 days on blah. Like, it's ridiculous. Like, it's money. I know it's money, but it's stupid and makes me angry. usually, when I play games that I have on the Xbox, like, I'm usually the one benefiting from the early exclusivity. Like, I've never really had to wait for anything, but that's not the point. I don't like that I can't, like, talk about things with you. Like, if I'm playing a title on Xbox and you're playing on PC, like, with the Skyrim Dragonborn, I can't be like, oh, dude, did you do the blah blah with the thing and the stuff and the dragon? Boom! And you're just like, what?
Spoiler alert, there's a dragon in it.
Exactly, right? So, I don't know. I am not a fan of these different release dates for different consoles, unless there's a valid reason. If it's like, we made the game for the Wii U, and it's meant to work with the dual screens and the motion, or, you know, whatever it is that Wii U has that the other two don't, if that's where they developed and they're having problems porting it over, or, you know, like, whatever. If there's some valid software or hardware reason that they need more time for other platforms, that's a different story. If it's strictly just for, you know, like, money reasons, marketing reasons, exclusivity deals, whatever, I think that is bullshit. Sorry.
Right. Well, I mean...
Grr. But, I mean, I don't think that they should have, like, if that was the decision that they originally made, they said Wii U in February, everybody else in September, they should have stuck with that. Instead of, like, if they decided that they wanted to release all three at the same time, that should have been the goal from the beginning. Like,
yeah. I mean, their main reason for doing this shift is that they said, in light of Origin fans being disappointed at the Wii U exclusivity, they decided, like, okay, well, we'll make it for both. We'll release it at the same time. Everybody's happy. But no, the consumers aren't happy. The developers aren't happy. The only people that are happy are, I guess, Ubisoft brass. Like, they're like, oh, you know, we're going to make a bunch of money all at the same time rather than a little bit of money in February and then a lot of money in September.
Yeah.
And I wonder if we'll see this title also expand to the next gen consoles as well. You know, like,
why? I don't know. That's going to be really interesting.
Like, it's weird. I think Nintendo is sort of on their own in the sense that they talk about a console, then release it like 3 years later. Whereas Microsoft and Sony, I think their strategy is literally talk about it in the spring, release it in the fall. Which is weird, right? It's not the usual sort of schedule we're used to, but I'll be surprised if it's not released in the fall. So...
Oh, yeah, I think we're definitely getting our next-gen consoles this Christmas. Like, there's no doubt in my mind about that. I think, I don't know, I think it's going to be really interesting if there is no backwards compatibility. Like, if that rumor turns out to be true about both PlayStation and Xbox, if, you know, I buy it in September on my Xbox 360, and then you go out and buy a next-gen Xbox and pick it up, and then we can't play together, or, you know, whatever, like, I don't know, I just feel like this is just going to be so... This console cycle is going to be so weird and broken.
Well, I mean, had the same issue when the 360 launched. Like, if I wanted to play Halo 2, I had to download a software patch, right? I couldn't just pop it in and play it. And I mean...
they gave you the software patch option. All the rumors seem to sound like it's just like, yep, yeah, nope. As it, like, new console, everything before no longer exists.
Yeah, I think... I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen, but I know Sony has sort of... You know, they had a really cool model where they included the hardware in the system to be backwards compatible and then phased it out over the next couple of years. Mm-hmm. I enjoy that approach. I mean, Microsoft went the cheap way and you know, didn't have to, you know, put any cost on the consumer and for hardware, but they just, you know, made a bunch of patches, right, essentially. But yeah, I think they'll release this, like, they're not stupid. If they're waiting till September, they'll, you know, flick the switch to make it higher res and whatnot to put it on the better systems. But
because that's all it takes. It's a switch somewhere.
I know. Any programmers listening to the show, just like, ugh, this guy is a computer scientist and he says flip a switch to put it to the other console. It's like, yeah, I know, guys. It requires a little more work than that. But you know what I mean, right?
Yes, I do. I'm just poking fun. Yeah. So you said the devs are really pissed off because the delay actually happened within 2 weeks of the intended release date. So what are they doing?
Well, they're protesting. And I mean, I don't think they're like picketing, you know, Ubisoft.
I don't know. I've seen pictures of them with signs.
Okay, there's one picture with a guy with a sign. I think maybe it was just a PR move, but I could be wrong. But it's a couple devs, and then there's also like the creator of Rayman there, Michel Ancel. I don't know if that's how you say it. But yeah, he's there, and he's kind of supporting his devs. And I don't think anything's going to come of this from what I've been hearing, you know. Decisions are made. It is not coming out in February. But it's really cool to see like developers speaking out like this. Because this is not new. The reason we're talking about this in the topic of the week is that it's the reaction that it's gotten. You know, games get delayed all the time for stupid reasons. Sometimes for great reasons.
And sometimes games don't get delayed that should have been.
Yeah, exactly. Like
Mass Effect.
Yeah. Or BioShock, which got delayed a month for probably a good reason. You know, they just need to polish it, right? Speaking of which, I was looking at all the new games coming out, and I saw, BioShock Infinite's coming out at the end of February? Yeah, someone didn't update their new release page, but...
I know.
Yeah. I mean, Ubisoft just said, like, you're going to make good, we'll throw out another demo. Exclusive to the Wii U, whatever that freaking means.
But, oh my god, that makes me so angry. I'm not a big fan of demos anyway. Like, I just feel like I'm gonna buy the game. You know, it's not like playing a demo is gonna change my mind. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, if the game is ready, the game is done, you know, for the Wii U anyway. So don't give me a demo, give me the goddamn game.
Exactly. And the problem with this statement is that for consumers, sure, I guess it'll help us sort of, you know, we'll get to experience Rayman Legends in a small piece to keep us well fed until September for when it comes to Rayman. That was a poor way of saying that. But the problem is that the reason the devs were so pissed is that they've been, you know, in crunch mode time and time again. You know, they were in crunch mode for E3, getting that demo ready. Then they were in crunch mode for getting like a bunch of Gamescom and fall preview stuff. Then they were in crunch again for December for the demo. Then they were in crunch since coming back from Christmas to February to get the game done. And it's like, oh great, now we got to be in crunch again for, you know, the inevitable second demo and then E3 again and then September. It's like, way to burn out your dudes, guys.
Yeah. I mean, that's ridiculous.
It's just really unfortunate. I don't know.
So what I don't really understand, mm-hmm. like, I mean, I know I said I'm not a huge fan of this, but like, you've got it in the notes here. Like, I don't understand why Nintendo didn't throw a crap load of money at.
Exactly.
Yeah. Like, I mean, as soon as this was even discussed, Nintendo should have been like, whoa, hang on, like, you know, breach of contract or, you know, something. I mean, their launch window has sucked. Yeah. So they really could have benefited from this actually being exclusive for like 6 months. Right. Like, I don't understand why Nintendo wasn't like, oh my god, this is not okay. Have a whole bunch of money. Just throw it out right now. We know the game is done. Like, you're 2 weeks to release date. So you're obviously already shipping. Like, it's the game is done. Or at least, like, you know, ready to go. So, here's a bunch of money. Make it happen. Like, they're Nintendo.
Yeah. They need to do what they've done with Ninja Gaiden 3, which came out for the Wii U, the relaunch one, which was actually playable in comparison to the one that came out on Xbox. They threw money at it to have an exclusive for a time being title, mature title that Nintendo usually doesn't have on their systems, and got it out there, and it sold fairly well. Well enough that they're actually, you know, the window of exclusivity is up, and Tecmo is releasing it again on the Xbox and PlayStation. So I don't understand why they couldn't do this. I mean, Ubisoft says that like their policy has always been to release all games on all platforms simultaneously. You know, never so to have an exclusive.
I don't understand where this exclusive came from in the first place.
Exactly. But, well, I mean, the reason it was an exclusive is because they were making it specifically for the Wii U. Their reasoning is that they decided that they wanted to do 360 and PS3 versions for the bullshit answer that customers were unhappy. But the real answer is, you know, you're selling to an install base of over 300 million as opposed to just 3 million.
Yeah.
So sure. That's the business reason. And I guess Ubisoft just says, like, we never release titles, you know, it's always simultaneous. So,
yeah.
I mean, most people are saying, like, oh, why, you know, why would Nintendo let this happen? Ubisoft, you're killing the Wii U. Why? You know?
No, Nintendo is killing the Wii
exactly.
U.
Exactly.
Yeah, this isn't really Ubisoft's fault. I mean, I think the whole situation sucks, but...
Yeah. My Wii U is... I am still using it. It's not collecting dust. It's still something I really enjoy, but I was sort of hoping I would get to play this game at the end of February. And now I don't know if I'm going to play it in September, because that's probably around the same time that Wind Waker will be out. So, yeah. Sorry, Ubisoft. Yeah. Not that this makes a difference, but yeah, September is going to be crazy. You have GTA 5 coming out in September.
I was going to say, even if there aren't huge launches in September that you're thinking you're going to buy, it's so close to the November launches and the American Thanksgiving and all the stuff that happens mm-hmm. in the fall. I find that I usually don't buy a lot in August and September because I'm saving my money and, you know, like I have all the stuff I picked up earlier in the year, like March, April, May stuff that comes out, because there's kind of two waves. There's that spring wave and the fall wave of game releases.
Yeah.
So I find that I'm usually buying a whole bunch of stuff through till kind of June, and then I slouch for a bit, and then it picks up again kind of October, November. So, I mean, I would not be picking this up at all. Like, it wouldn't even occur to me. Like, it's a bad time to launch a game, I think.
Yeah,
they should have, if they were going to push it, they should have pushed it right to November. But then again, you know, if I'm looking at a shelf and I'm like, well, I could have, you know, I don't even know what's coming out this November. But yeah, next...
Nobody does.
Next Call of Duty title or Rayman, like a no-brainer.
What they should have done is they should have... Like, this sort of reasoning makes no sense to me. They should have had this thought process done and over with when they decided they wanted to make a sequel to Rayman Origins. Like, okay, you know, let's pimp it on Wii U, but then surprise announcement, it's coming out for both, like, later on when Nintendo isn't trying to use it as a PR positive, right?
Yeah.
Don't wait until 2 weeks before the release and say, you know, we're delaying it so we can release it to 360 and PS3.
Yeah.
It's just, it's weird, and I don't know. It's icky.
It's icky. Nice. It's icky. So I just wanted to quickly, before we move into listener feedback, give you guys a quick kind of look into next week. We are going to be using our topic of the week next week to talk about everything that Sony tells us about the future of gaming on the 20th. So they're actually...
Money.
Yes, take my right. Unless there's no used games, then I'm keeping all my money, and so there. But there was a leak this week. It's not that we missed this, but we just figured we'd talk about it next week. The controller for the PlayStation 4 apparently was leaked, and it has a touchpad, and it's all fancy, and I actually like it because, like we've mentioned before, my big, huge man hands do not like the teeny tiny little PlayStation controller. So I am excited that the controller is going to have a little more heft to it, because
it looks huge.
It does look huge.
And that touchpad looks small.
It's true, but at least it has a little heft to it. I'll be able to, you know, like reach the buttons without way overreaching because my fingers are so long.
Now when I throw it on the floor, I'm gonna like break my foot. Like,
well, yeah, there's that. So there's only a week, less than a week until the Sony conference. So we'll see if it's the actual controller. Then we'll talk about it next week. And if not, well, we're not gonna waste our time. So that brings us to our listener feedback section. So we have an iTunes review. Ryan, do you want to go through it?
I do. As long as this image cooperates. Oh my god, it's so long. Sorry, guys. All right. Review. Awesome podcast from D D Commander 1, sorry. If you want to have a good time, listen to this podcast. It's got comedy, drama, and more, as well as a lot more, okay? This podcast
more,
is...
More!
This podcast is also for hardcore Zelda fans, as they frequently mention the series from Nintendo, and they also respond to fan input on their Facebook and live stream pages. Well, we try. We try.
We try very hard, and I was totally going to say, no, we don't talk about Zelda every week, but then, like, there literally is a Zelda reference, like, every week.
We mentioned...
It just always comes up in one way or another.
Yeah. We used it in our WoW talk. We referenced Zelda, so...
No.
We have giant tomes, you know, about Zelda. It's right here. So I don't think we can argue that point.
We can't really argue with that, but I mean, Zelda's a good franchise.
It is. Well, I think it is. Jocelyn, not so much.
Don't get me started.
That's like saying she hated Mass Effect 3. I hated it, you know, when it came out in March, but... You know, not, like, 6 months later when they fixed everything that was wrong with it. You know I'm right.
You're poking me on purpose, and just stop it.
All right.
All right. So, you can visit us on the web at gamersinpodcast.com or email the show at info@gamersinpodcast.com. You can also find us on amove.tv along with other fabulous shows, including StarCast, Biggest Fan, and This Week in Blizz. You can also follow us on Twitter. You can find me, Jocelyn, at GISGamer. Ryan is at RMurphy. And don't forget to follow the show at The Gamers Inn. You can also find us on Facebook and Google+. And don't forget to leave us an iTunes review, because we'll read it on the show. And it's the best way for our show to reach new listeners. So before we go, I just want to give a quick shout-out and thank you to my brother Greg for creating our awesome music. You can find him on Twitter at SoundsInfluence. We would also like to thank Joel Duggan of StarCrossed Online, who drew our Twitter avatars and created our logo. You can find him on Twitter at Joel Duggan or read his comic at StarCrossedOnline.com. So thanks for staying at the Gamers Inn, and remember to tune in next week.
Boom!
Hello?
I'm muted. Or else you would have heard.
Burp, 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 burp.